Our gospel reading today is one of the most familiar passages in the Bible. Listen to these words from Matthew. Jesus saw the crowds and went up a hill where he sat down. His disciples gathered around him, and he began to teach them. Happy are those who know they are spiritually poor. The kingdom of heaven belongs to them. Happy are those who mourn. God will comfort them. Happy are those who are humble. They will receive what God has promised. Happy are those whose greatest desire is to do what God requires. God will satisfy them fully. Happy are those who are merciful to others. God will be merciful to them. Happy are the pure in heart. They will see God. Happy are those who work for peace. God will call them his children. Happy are those who are persecuted because they do what God requires. The kingdom of heaven belongs to them. Happy are you when people insult you and persecute you and tell all kinds of evil lies against you because you are my followers. Be happy and glad, for a great reward is kept for you in heaven. This is how the prophets who lived before you were persecuted. Let's join together in our affirmation of faith. We believe in God, a divine presence, gentle and loving, the ground of our being. We believe in Jesus, who demonstrated to us the love of God and who urged his followers to express that love in their daily lives. We believe in the Holy Spirit as God's continuing presence in our world, surrounding us in compassionate love. We believe in the church where people gather to learn about and praise God, to share our concern for one another, and to bring justice and healing to all of God's creation.
Our focus scripture this morning comes from the book of the prophet Micah, the 6th chapter, verses 1 through 8. Here are the words of the prophet. Hear what the Lord is saying. Arise, lay out the lawsuit before the mountains. Let the hills hear your voice. Hear, mountains, the lawsuit of the Lord. Hear, eternal foundations of the earth. The Lord has a lawsuit against his people. With Israel, he will argue. My people, what did I ever do to you? How have I wearied you? Answer me. I brought you up out of the land of Egypt. I redeemed you from the house of slavery. I sent Moses, Aaron, and Miriam before you. My people, remember what Moab's king Balak had planned and how Balaam, Beor's son, answered him. Remember everything from Shittim to Gilgal, that you might learn to recognize the righteous acts of the Lord. With what should I approach the Lord and bow down before God on high? Should I come before him with entirely burnt offerings, with year-old calves? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with many torrents of oil? Should I give my oldest child for my crime, the fruit of my body for the sin of my spirit? He has told you, human one, what is good, and what the Lord requires from you: to do justice, to embrace faithful love, and walk humbly with your God. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. At some point in your life, at some time in during along your life's paths, I'm guessing that you've been involved in what I call a you-know conversation. You know, right? It's one of those conversations, you might be on one side or the other of it, but you're going to hear the same answer, or you're going to say the same thing. Like, you know that somebody's not happy with you, okay? And you can tell just by the way they relate to you, but you can't quite figure out why. And so you might ask, you know, have I done something to upset you? And the answer you get is, you know what you did. You know what you did. Even though you might not be able to get your mind around it or clearly remember what it is, so you're left to wonder. Well, with a little imagination, this conversation, this is a three-way conversation in Micah between God and Israel and the prophet Micah. It could be one of those, you know, conversations. It might sound something like this. I'm not too happy with you, Israel. That's God talking. Israel's response, not to God, but to Micah. God's mad at us. What did we do? Micah responds, well, God told you. I mean, God had done all of these things for you, and you've kind of abandoned God. You've gone your own way. Israel. Well, maybe God would be happy if we'd give him a whole bunch of stuff, nice things, build him a new temple, give him a great big and wonderful offerings of money, of food, etc., etc. I'd even give him my firstborn if that would make God happy. Micah. No, I don't think so. I mean, that's nice. That's a nice thought, but no, I don't think that's what God would be happy with. Israel. Well, what does God want from me then? Micah. You know. You know. Yes, Israel did know. Israel does know. They've been told before, but they've forgotten. They've drifted off, wandered down at their own path, focused on other things, and forgotten about the God who has laid blessing upon blessing upon blessing upon them. Imagine at this point, Micah's got Israel thinking a little bit, well, if we know, what is it? What could God possibly want? We offered him all this stuff. Isn't that good enough? Well, Micah doesn't leave them hanging for long. He tells them exactly what God wants, reminds them again. This isn't the first time they've heard this. We know those words too, the most familiar words. It's like the Beatitudes, the most familiar words from Micah 6 through 8. To do justice, to love kindness, and walk humbly with your God. We know that too. We've heard it often enough, have we not? But too often, being the human beings that we are, we think that what makes people happy, what makes God happy, is things, stuff. And there is some value in those, but God's not really all that interested in that. We've heard that throughout the Old Testament in other books of the Bible. Because God doesn't want what? God doesn't want stuff, things. What God wants is us. All of us. Lock, stock, and barrel. God wants our whole attention, our very beings, our whole life. To do justice. That's the key word. Do justice. Not just think about it, but do something about it. Wherever we possibly can. Yes, we can pray for justice, and we should. But it calls us to much more beyond that than just pray, but to work for it, to take an active role in bringing justice about for all of God's people. Common English Bible, which I just read this piece out of, says to embrace faithful love. What does that mean? One of the commentaries I read this week in preparation said that that means to love with a strong element of loyalty. A strong element. Such as the loyalty between spouses, between friends, and in this case, between people and God, ourselves and God, a strong loyalty to God. And to walk humbly, not in humility. Don't think of it as walking in humility. Walking humbly in this case means meticulously, carefully, wisely with the God who has blessed us. To walk humbly in this way means to orient one's whole life, each and every minute of each and every day, with every breath we take, to God and God's ways. To receive them with thanksgiving and share them joyfully. Wow, that's a lot. One's whole life? You know, if we were honest, we'd rather God wanted things, wouldn't we? It'd be a lot easier, a lot less risky. We could throw through a few things God's way and go on about our lives as we chose. That's not what God wants. God will accept nothing less than our whole being. That's a lot to deal with. It's a big job for us to do. Because as we look at the world, we know there's plenty of grief in the world, plenty of justice to be carried out yet. But we don't have to do it all. I was reminded of that as I ran across this quote from the Talmud. It says this: do not be daunted by the enormity of the world's grief. Act justly. Now. Love mercy. Now. Walk humbly. Now. You are not obligated to complete the work, but neither are you free to abandon it. Abandon it we shouldn't. Abandon it we can't. God has laid the call out there to do justice, to walk humbly and embrace faithful love. God's love for us passed on to God's people, our brothers and sisters, in every way. Amen. Let us pray together the prayer that Jesus taught. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.